If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, huge fan listeners. Super Bowl 57 has come and gone. While we were all on the edge of our seats for the heart-pumping action on the field, the highly anticipated commercials, and Rihanna killing it at halftime, we would be remiss to not share the insanity that preceded the main event, Radio Row. So today, we flip the script and go back to the week leading up to the big game, right in the heart of Radio Row. We're talking to your favorite NFL players about the movies, TV shows, comedy, and music that make them tick. From the scenes that make them cry to the songs that pump them up, we meet them where pop culture and sports collide. We hit the ground in Phoenix to bring you this special episode of Huge Fan, where sports talk stars. I'm LaChyna Robinson. Those sweet, funky sounds you hear are the Budos Band. And this is Huge Fan, the podcast where sports talk stars. Typically on Huge Fan, we have stars, actors, comics, and musicians talk about sports, specifically their love of their favorite team. But this time, we decided to switch it up a little bit for Radio Row, for the Super Bowl, and talk to athletes about their favorite things in pop culture. We kicked this off with movies by asking these athletes if they could only watch one movie for the rest of their life, what would that be? And we made a special request for some to give us a sports movie. Let's kick things off with former offensive lineman and Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Willie Colon, who shares an iconic sports movie.
Oh, probably The Program.
The Program, that was an OG.
Yep, Darnell Jefferson. Holly was in it. Omar Epps obviously played Darnell Jefferson. For me, it was one of those movies because at the time, I was about to start playing football in high school. And so I was very much like, this is unreal. Is this college football? And I grew up more of a college football fan than an NFL fan. I grew up in New York, so Giants is all I cared about. I didn't pay attention to the rest of the NFL. But being a kid who woke up every Saturday, was accustomed to watching cartoons, I naturally gravitated to watching Big Ten football. So it was Michigan, Nebraska. I loved Miami. And so the program was just like inside the lens of what college football was all about. So I was just enamored with it. So I love The Program.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Man, you guys are bringing up some movies that I've forgotten about. I need to go back and watch.
Yeah, The Program was amazing. Now you watch it, it's cheesy as hell. Like, you're like, all right.
Yeah, well, except for the movie that's based on my high school, which was Remember the Titans.
Oh, really?
T.C. Williams. Yeah, okay. That was my high school. Coach Boone was my driver's ed teacher. Right. This is my bragging point. This is all I got.
This is where you leave me.
I didn't get to two Super Bowls, so this is all I'm famous for.
Yeah, I like to Remember the Titans. I don't know. I think, you know, for me, well, the movie The Program, there's a character by the name of Alvin Mack. He was the middle linebacker. Uh-huh. And he was just, like, badass. He reminded me of, like, a Lawrence Taylor type figure. So I was just like, and I loved Lawrence Taylor. That was, like, my idol. So I was just like, I want to be like Alvin Mack.
Yeah.
And it's just the whole, like, the big crowd, the band and everything. I just wanted to be a part of it. So
yeah. Jacksonville Jaguars linebacker, Foye Oluokun. If you could only watch one sports movie for the rest of your life, which one would it be?
I'd probably do Glory Road. Glory Road.
I don't think I've seen Glory Road. I know. I'm messing up. So give me a little background.
You know Booby Miles?
Yes.
So he's the main character in Glory Road, the basketball, Bobby Joe Hill. And it's about a dude. It was really about a team. It's a coach who gets head coaching job at UTEP, University of Texas El Paso. Mm-hmm. And he was the first one to start 5 African-Americans NCAA. And it's kind of like their journey, kind of going through all the scrutiny. But he does a good job connecting with him. He goes to the inner cities of, like, New York. He gathers point guard. He recruited him. Big-time recruit, David Latin, Bobby Joe Hill, who didn't want to play college ball. He went and got him. And he started all five of them. And eventually they make it all the way through the tournament. They beat Kansas in the Final Four, had to play Kentucky in the finals, who all white.
Yeah.
You know, history, tradition, wow. Kentucky. And I love Kentucky, but I was rooting against them in this movie. And they end up winning at UTEP, University of Texas El Paso, wins the national championship. You know, starting five African-Americans and obviously changed NCAA basketball.
I had heard the story, but I didn't realize they made a movie out of it.
Oh, it's beautiful. Because I've watched, they used to basically play a commemoration. I don't even know the word. But, like, during the Final Four, they always used to allude to it, kind of show a little documentary about it. Then they made the movie and really got in-depth of kind of, hopefully, what really happened.
Yeah.
But it was a good movie.
Former Cincinnati Bengals and Cleveland Browns wide receiver, Andrew Hawkins.
If you could only watch one movie for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Hoop Dreams.
So you're going to the basketball side?
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Really?
Are you a basketball player too?
I used to play way, way back in the day, but I just love the story of Hoop Dreams, which is kind of the pioneering sports doc.
Yeah.
Right? We see so much about that now. But it was such an incredible, fascinating story. I'm a fan of the long game of life as well as storytelling. To sit and record somebody for 7 years, not know how it's going to end up. And I think the story just naturally came together. And it's a story of perseverance.
Yeah.
And I watched it when I was young, and it inspired a lot of, like, my track in life. And, yeah, I think it's a great, great film.
Detroit Lions defensive end Aiden Hutchinson.
If you could only watch the same movie.
I already got it.
Oh, you already got it? Let's go. What is it?
It's Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey. Don't give me that face that you don't know what I'm talking about.
Interstellar? I have never watched it in my life.
That's my number one movie of all time.
I am a Matthew McConaughey fan, though.
If you are.
Yeah.
Can you write this down, please?
Okay.
Interstellar.
Okay, I'm on it.
Because you've seen it.
What is it? Tell me. Give me the gist. What is it about?
So it's pretty much about, like, the world is kind of ending a little bit, and so they're trying to find an alternate solution to like, save the world, to, like, ship them to a different planet. But the point is how they get there is, like, it's just insane. And it's, like I cried during the movie. There was a scene that will break your heart. You'll cry, too, I guarantee
it.
It's a tearjerker for anybody watching. I don't care how tough you are. I don't care, you know, whatever that
so
is.
So this sounds like what? Sci-fi meets tearjerker?
Yeah.
Is that
It's not the point. The point is not tearjerking, but just how deep it is.
Okay.
Is the fact that it's tearjerking. You know, there's some sad moments, but it's so deep, you know, and I love it.
That's awesome. Okay, so I'm going to check
it out.
You got to
watch that. It's 3 hours, so it's a long one, but, like, well worth it. By the end, you're going to be... Your mind will be blown.
You good? Okay.
Yeah.
But you didn't even let me get my question out because of what I was going to ask you.
Sorry.
No, this is good. This is still good.
You're getting me excited.
This is good, still good, but I was going to ask you your favorite sports movie that you would watch.
Oh, okay.
Sport hadn't gotten in there yet.
Let me think.
No, now you're not excited. Asked the right question.
Yeah, I don't even like sport movies.
Okay, good.
Much,
let's move on.
I like regular movies.
Okay.
More. So that's...
That's even better.
Yeah.
We hit the top right away. We got
I'm
the
glad
best
I cut
content.
You off, actually. Yeah.
New York Jets running back, Zonovan Knight. If you could only watch one for the rest of your life, what is that number one sports movie that you just can't live without?
When the Game Stands Tall. That released a couple years ago. That's about a high school.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like that was a really good movie.
I didn't get to see that. How was it?
It was really good. It was about the high school team. Like, it's not NFL or anything like that, but yeah. I feel like just with them and, like, how they had to, like, change around certain players on the team and kind of, like, grow them towards God and faith and everything. I think, like, the message and the overall theme and plot of that movie was good.
Former All-Pro quarterback for Cincinnati Bengals and Arizona Cardinals, Carson Palmer.
If you could only watch one sports movie the rest of your life, what would it be?
Waterboy.
New England Patriots and Indianapolis Colts legend and one of the greatest kickers of all time, Adam Vinatieri.
Sports movies. What is your favorite one?
Favorite sports movie. You know what? I'm going to say semi-pro just because it's absolutely ridiculous and I laugh every time it's on.
Yeah.
I see it on. I've got to watch it. I laugh the entire time. It's so ridiculous. But, you know, if you go the traditional whatever, you know, the... you know, the Rudys and all this different stuff. Yeah, you know, those are fine and dandy. I love them too. Probably Miracle on Ice or whatever it was, the hockey team from the 80s that won. That's pretty awesome
that
too.
Is pretty awesome.
And that probably pulls in a lot of the national pride. Like you start feeling, you know, kind of that pride for it. But
in the historical aspect,
100%.
Too.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. But for me, I'm kind of one of those lighthearted, love the funny movies and just joke around. And yeah, that
when you pop in a movie, you want to like chill, you know, like laugh, relax, light time. That's good. Yeah. I mean, to me, it's a getaway
for sure.
For many
it's either
people.
It's if it's not an action movie where there's, you know, whatever, it's something that I can laugh about and just relax. Life sometimes is stressful. Why not just relax when you have the opportunity?
Former NFL safety and Super Bowl champion TJ Ward. And if you could only watch one movie for the rest of your life, sports movie, what would it be?
Probably Any Given Sunday.
That's a really good one. Yeah. I feel like we don't hear that one enough. What really drew
probably
you to
get
that?
Basketball movies, huh?
Well, we get a fair share, a little balance. Actually, we've gotten some baseball today, like a lot from football players. What did we get? Sandlot.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I really like A League of Their Own, but that wouldn't be my favorite. Remember the Titans is
my
favorite.
Yeah, that would probably be
that's a good
my
one.
Second one. I was going to say Little Giants.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Football movies.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
But do you remember what it was about Any Given Sunday that, like, drew you to it? Like,
it was – well, honestly, when it came out, I just, like, loved the – I think Michael Bay is the director or producer or whatever. Uh-huh. I just loved, like, how it was shot. You know, I had some of my favorite actors in it, and it was just entertaining. It was intense. It was like, okay, this is what pro football is like.
Yeah.
And then when I got in the league and – you know, watch it again. I'm like, damn, that's really what pro football is.
Yeah, they captured
like.
That thing.
I mean,
right.
I'm a little exaggerated a little bit, but like my first game we played in Tampa Bay when I was in Cleveland, and the whole like pregame to where like the Bucks were getting announced, the smoke, cheerleaders, it was like the opening scene of Any Given Sunday to me. Like when I was on the sideline, I was looking around. And it felt like Any Given Sunday.
Right there. Yeah. Wasn't there a high-profile musician in there? Was it LL
Cool J?
Oh, God, yeah. I thought so. Okay, I was like, I know. I thought LL was in there.
I like Al Pacino, too.
Yeah, oh, he's great in every movie. That's good. Green Bay Packers wide receiver Christian Watson.
I'll probably go with The Sandlot. I think I could watch that. I think I could watch it every day.
Oh, wow. Okay, what is it about The Sandlot? I don't think we've ever gotten that response before.
I mean, I feel like it's just – there's a lot going on in The Sandlot. And it's just, I mean, it's a really good movie to me.
Yeah.
It's a classic. And I feel like it's I can see myself watching it multiple times. I don't know about the rest of my life, but I don't think any movie. But that's the first one that comes to my mind when I could watch it quite a few times and I would still enjoy it.
Former NFL free safety and current television broadcaster Solomon Wilcox. If you could watch the same movie every day for the rest of your life, what movie would it be?
Wow, that's a good one. Pulp Fiction. I know. Kind of dark, isn't it?
A little but violent, but that's
it's
okay.
It's funny, too. It's hilarious, too.
It is.
And it tells you about the choices you make. You better double down on right, you know?
So what I'm hearing, Solomon, is you are a guy who is about decision-making, right?
Absolutely.
Teaching a lesson in your movies.
Yeah.
You also like to be a little scared, a little bloody. You like the...
Not the blood, like the laughter. But if it goes there, like, you know how sometimes people try you because you're nice and you're respectable,
yes.
And then they think they can just try you. Have you ever been in a place, and then you're like, don't make me go there. So that's what Pulp Fiction sort of represents. If you have to go there, you got to go there. So that's kind of, that's why it has that other side. That's exactly right.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream is a total chocolate game changer. We start with unbelievably creamy dark chocolate ice cream. Then we add different chocolate treats. like chocolate cookies, chocolate cake, or chocolate brownies to make four decadent chocolate flavors. Because sometimes the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection Ice Cream. Extraordinary dairy.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
A good TV show can be good company. We asked our guests which shows have been their favorite binges. Some of these selections might surprise you. Isn't that right, Zonovan Knight?
I actually been rewatching Outer Banks a lot. It's like a
Is a real throwback right there.
Yeah.
What? How did you roll up on that? Was this intentional?
I don't even know. To be honest, I don't remember. I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember at all. I just know I just got into it. So that's kind of like
where you
just give it a shot and then you just roll with it.
And what is your genre? Do you have like a, if you're going to watch a show, you're more likely to watch?
I don't know what it is. I just kind of like read it, either read the description or just let like the little intro of the movie play. Just have to catch my eye. It's like so many shows that it's like questionable. Like I literally just watched like last week. What is it? Rhythm and Flow with.
Hustle and Flow?
Is it Hustle and Flow?
Cardi B. Oh, that's something else. Okay, Rhythm and Flow. Okay, I haven't seen that.
I just watched that show. That was like a whole bunch of artists trying to make it. So it's like T.I., Cardi B., Chance the Rapper.
Like Shark Tank for rappers.
Yeah, they give them opportunities, like challenge them with like rap battles and then performances, stuff like that.
Oh.
That came out like 2018, 19, something like
that. I didn't even know that was out. That sounds like something I would
enjoy. It's on Netflix. I just watched it. I thought it was pretty corny when it first came out, so I never watched it. Then I watched it the other night. It was like 11 o'clock. I put it on. I stayed up to like 4 o'clock watching it.
What? Yeah. You watched all the shows like back to back?
Yes.
Carson Palmer. If you could binge watch one television show and watch it over and over again, what would it be?
Entourage on HBO.
Entourage. Remember Entourage? Yeah, that's a good one.
Oldie but a goodie.
I might need to go back and dig in the archives for that one. Adam Vinatieri. Television shows. Do you have a favorite sitcom of all time or one that you would rewatch?
Two and a Half Men. Love Charlie Sheen in that. I loved it. I still like, they still play him on some of the, you know, late night after the news is off. And if it's on, I can't stop watching it because he makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Again, it's all about funny and laughing and having a good time. I think that's probably my thing. I jump on some of the series on the Netflix and the Amazon stuff and watch some of the different series and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if it's just a sitcom, Two and a Half Men was probably my go-to.
TJ Ward.
I'm watching The Last of Us right now.
Last of Us. How is that?
It's on HBO. It's good.
Okay. All right.
It's on episode like 4. It's pretty good. I'm watching BMF. So I didn't watch the first 5 episodes. I like to wait at least to half the season goes and then watch 5 and I can wait on the rest.
Christian Watson. So if there was one show that you could rewatch or want to rewatch, a TV show, what would it be?
I'm a big anime guy. I don't know if you are into anime at all, or if you know anything about anime.
I've had to get into it because my nephew, every time I ask him what he wants for his birthday, it's always something anime. Like,
is it?
It's a costume, or it's a show. Like, he wants me to buy it online so he can watch it. But tell me about anime for you.
I mean, for me, honestly, that's a tough question because I've rewatched most of the shows that I really enjoy already, like multiple times.
Yeah.
But I guess just to answer your question, the show that I've rewatched the most is probably Naruto.
Okay.
If you ever heard of it, it's one of the more like popularized mainstream animes that there's been. And I probably rewatched it like 4 or 5 times. So,
oh, goodness.
So, yeah, no, that's my show.
So is anime, you correct me if I'm wrong, it's more of the fighting aspect of...
No, that's probably the more mainstream like genre of it.
Okay.
But there's like all styles of show. I mean, there's like Slice of Life, which is just like regular everyday life.
Okay.
Like no fighting, just like, you know, kids
hanging
going
out
to school or
right.
to college or just working. And then obviously there's the fighting ones and the action and adventure. But I mean, there's like any type of TV show that there is that's just a regular TV show, there's the same style of show in anime.
Okay, so are we likely to see you one day, like, hiding out at one of these anime conventions? Because I've landed in the middle of one of them. They have, like, these conferences, and then, like, everybody's dressed up in this anime, and people are crazy about it.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think I'd be hiding. I think I would be.
You'd be out
there?
Yeah,
I'd be out there.
But then you would be able to enjoy it. They'd be like, can we have your autograph? Like,
you know, that's my stuff. I actually have anime tattoos everywhere.
That's
so, like,
dope.
This is from the Naruto show here. So is this. My elbow, and
wow.
Then my entire leg is all anime as well.
That is dope. I mean, that's very well done.
Yeah, no.
That is beautiful. And
thank
I like
you.
It with the blessed on the side, how yeah. it kind of transitions.
Yeah, thank
that's
you.
Awesome. Okay, you're teaching me a thing or two. All right, Christian. Solomon Wilcott, television shows. It doesn't have to be childhood. It could be any period of your life. TV shows, sitcoms that have stuck with you over time, maybe influenced your life in any way.
Yeah, documentaries that's always been like strong genre for me. And this is kind of the nerdy side of me coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a guy by the name of Noam Chomsky. He's an economist. And so by watching a lot of documentaries where he's speaking, because he speaks to the needs of all communities, and he talks about things about how those people who design social structures or political structures, right? Or corporate structures. They're designing a society that benefits them. So
mm-hmm.
what does that look like, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we go through COVID, you see corporations struggling economically and they want PPP, you
mm-hmm.
know, payroll protection plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then when average people get a check, they were upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
They're upset when the average person
right.
gets some kind of governmental support.
Because we didn't create that for you.
Yeah, but then when they get governmental support, they got a problem.
Yeah.
And so Noam Chomsky talks about that, and he talks about, you know, government for corporations, not for people. But last we checked, don't we have a government that's what?
For the people,
of the people, by the people. So who's supposed to be getting taken care of first? People.
You make a great
not
point.
Corporations.
Aiden Hutchinson. So if you're binge watching one television show, what would it be? What's your number one? Like, I would binge this over and over. This is my show. It could be sitcom. It could be, because I know television.
Oh, like watch it, rewatch it?
Yes.
Mm. Before you said rewatch it, I think my favorite binge-worthy TV show was Game of Thrones. Have you seen Game of Thrones?
Yes, but I had trouble getting into it, though.
Yeah, you need some help.
Layers.
It's very confusing.
Yeah.
But I binged the hell out of that. But one that I binged, I don't love rewatching TV shows. Are you a TV show rewatcher?
I'm not.
Like once I see it, I turn the page and I'm ready to move on.
Foye Olukun. If you could binge watch or rewatch one show on the road, like you ain't got nothing to do, you're just going to watch this show over and over, what would it be?
I love cartoons. South Park. Love South Park.
Okay, that's a good one.
I was about to say You. It's about to come out maybe today. You on Netflix. Y'all watch that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, man. That is crazy.
It's a cartoon?
No.
Oh.
It's not a cartoon.
Oh, okay.
But, like, if I had to watch it all the time, I'd probably say South Park. Just because it's a cartoon and it's kind of foolish, and they say they're kind of out of line with a lot of things, but they mm-hmm. kind of go into a lot of what's happening in today.
Okay.
It's kind of like one of those satirical things. You kind of got to understand the jokes and stuff. But
yes.
If you pay attention to, let's say, pop culture, and then they a lot of times they'll have an episode right on exactly what happened.
Oh,
so it's like
dope.
The Boondocks, but different.
Yeah.
I love
okay.
the Boondocks.
I mean, I've heard of South Park, but I've never actually watched it.
Yeah. It'll take some getting used to, but I love it for real because it's so – I like kind of the writers and kind of how they attack people's – thinking, people's mindsets with they'll just go right at you and make fun of it.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Carl Eller. Television shows. Is there anything you watch these days that you binge watch or that you've ever watched? Like back when I was younger, it was like I used to watch The Cosby Show. I used to watch Different World, Growing Pains. But was TV ever a big thing for you?
Well, the TV gained an influence much later, but early in my career, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, so The Cosby Show was a big one for me. But I think right now it's like something like Yellowstone is very popular. I can binge watch it.
Okay.
I can watch the episode. It's something always good to come back to.
Nice.
So I watched that. It's a good movie, good storyline, and so relaxing.
Yeah,
so,
that's what grabs you, the storylines, right? Yeah, Are you more of a, because I've never seen Yellowstone, is it action, is it drama, is it just everyday life, comedy?
It's more everyday life, but it's set back in a time with Old West, a kind of the Wild West. I like the Western, which you rarely see today. I like that kind of, you know, macho kind of deal.
That cowboy that comes riding. My dad would probably agree. He loves a good Western.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like a good Western.
Okay.
All right.
What is the Western that they had recently that they kind of redid with Jay-Z on the soundtrack? I can't remember the name of it, but there was a Western that came out recently, like maybe a couple years ago, and they, you know, had just kind of made it more of applicable to today's age and times, even the soundtrack. The Harder They Fall.
Oh, The Harder They Fall.
Yeah, it was really good. So if you get a chance, definitely check that out. It's
I
a
remember
one.
That one's a good one. But I was going to, I thought you might say Wagon Train or something like that.
Oh, it no, I haven't seen that one.
It was an older one, but it was about the move to the West and how they had a hard time getting out there, you know.
Yeah.
Big, big.
Willie Colon, if you were going to rewatch a sitcom.
Rewatch? Man, I think for me, it's Living Single.
That's a good one.
Living Single, I loved it. At the time, it just... Listen, I was obviously a Queen Latifah fan, and I watched it and I understood most of it. But now that I'm in an adult age, I want to go back and kind of just kind of get their jokes and the premise of how they went about things and the whole dating life. And,
yes.
So I would want to go back and watch Living Single.
You can relate to it a little differently, right? 100%. I thought I could. I thought I was. But now that I'm this age and I've had all this experience, and you really get it. Yeah. Like, it was cool and it was funny and all that, but you like,
because
you
laugh when your cousins and them was laughing. You're like, ha, ha, ha.
What she just say? Right. What is that word?
Exactly.
Andrew Hawkins, is there a show that you just binge watch? Like, it can be from 90s, because I know that's a big thing these days. I have a friend that watches A Different World over and over. Like, what is, like, your TV show? Could be sitcom, something that maybe as a kid you wish you were a character in, since I did a little acting.
There's so many things. I would say the show I wish I was a character in, I always wanted to be Steve Urkel. Family Matters was my
No one wants to be Steve Urkel.
I wanted to be Steve Urkel, man. I thought Steve Urkel was, I mean, he was the biggest star in the world at the time to me. So I was a big Family Matters fan. The show I watch the most is Golden Girls.
Really?
Yeah, I know that probably throws people off a little bit. But Golden Girls, I think it is timeless comedy. I laugh. I've seen all the episodes multiple times. I had them on DVD. I got them on Amazon.
What?
I just literally play them. Even when I was in my career, I would go to the hotel. And I would turn on the Golden Girls, and that's what I would watch.
You sold out.
Yeah,
the
man.
Golden Girls
is it.
Full force. Where did it start? Was there someone like that introduced you to it? You know where I'm going with this, right? Because it was usually like your auntie or your mom.
Grandma was watching it. Grandma would always watch it. And, you know, subconsciously it probably plays. You don't really understand all the jokes back then, but you're used to it. And then my wife always watched it, too, when we started dating. There's probably something deeper there about some kind of comfort that comes with it.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
There's always that one comedian or funny person that can make us laugh no matter what. Mine is definitely Eddie Murphy. Now, while I love all of his movies, my favorite, his stand-ups. Raw, Delirious, man, had me in stitches. Let's check in with our guests to see who makes them laugh. Adam Vinatieri.
Oh, my goodness. I've got a few of them. You can't beat Chappelle.
Okay.
He's the king of it all. I love that dude. I mean, everything he says is absolute gold. What's the Jeffries guy? What's his first name? He's an Australian guy. Really funny. Pretty raunchy. I mean, over the top raunchy. Jeffries.
Most people like their comedians over the top. Like we were just talking about the shock factor. Yeah, and that 100%. Being, what is Jim Jeffries?
Jim, that's it. There you go. There it is.
Yep.
He's pretty over the top.
Okay.
Some of the stuff he says, you're just like, oh my
Wild.
God.
Wild.
Wild, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you know, the people that like the Seinfelds that don't swear and stuff, cool, I get it. I can laugh with that too, but some of the stuff that some of these guys say, it's just, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Bill Burr's funny. Yeah. Okay. I mean, there's some good ones.
Willie Colon, who makes you laugh?
A lot of people. I don't have a set person. Like, I love, obviously, the GOATs, Eddie, and all the old school stuff.
Yes. But Eddie's come up a lot today.
Yeah, Eddie's, because he's just, athletically, he's probably the most gifted comedian I think I've ever heard. I recently have gone be able to go back and watch Richard Pryor stuff, which I wasn't privy to, and he was just wild. He was just off the cuff.
So he influenced Eddie a lot. Eddie talks a lot about Richard Stanton, especially when he was in his Delirious Raw days. Like, Eddie is a little more commercial now, obviously. Yep. But back when he was doing stand-up, he was very much like Richard.
And I'm also a fan of, like, I don't know if there's a genre for it, but it's like, I'm like shock comedy, the stuff that makes you go like,
I cannot believe.
And because we live in such a cancel culture world, I'm like, one of my good friends who I love watching, Andrew Schultz, love him.
Yep.
Shane Gillis, love him. Who else? So there's so many comedians who, Tom Segura, love him. So there's so many people that I tap into and I love to just kind of just let them go.
That's
in
great.
My hair. And Omar Epps is just, I think, is not Omar Epps, it's a Mike Epps, excuse me. I think he's hilarious.
Mike Epps is so funny.
He's like sitting on the porch and having 40 funny. Yeah, you just sit back and just let him just kick it. He's hysterical.
He was my favorite. And was it next Friday after the original? Was he
part?
Oh my God. He was
killed it.
So
killed
hilarious.
It. Yeah, you can never get that. Never nobody else like him.
And All About the Benjamins.
Yep.
That is underrated.
Yeah. It took me a while to get. I've seen it, but I never dove. Like, I never paid attention to it. I really paid attention. I was like, oh, he did it again.
Andrew Hawkins.
Dave Chappelle makes me laugh.
Okay.
Key and Peele was hilarious. So many people.
What is the common thread in your comedy? Is it kind of the silly comedy? Is it the...
I like comedy where it's like, yo, I can't believe you just said that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that makes
me
laugh.
And that's why Dave Chappelle.
There's like a wow. I would never. The concept of it is funny to me.
Yeah. Foye Olukun.
The comedians. Bernie Mac was probably my favorite.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he's passed, but he was hilarious.
Yeah.
It's just, especially when he starts talking about how he... his kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I, when I was younger, I'd be like, I'd look at my dad like, you do the same things.
Same kind of reactions.
Right,
yes.
right.
Zonovan Knight.
I feel like it's like the typical actors, though. You talking about?
Maybe not. We haven't gotten the same. Well, we gotten, one person keeps coming up. I'll let you know. But just tell me who your top comedians
I feel
are.
Like Kevin Hart. Self-explanatory.
He's only come up once.
Really?
But that's, yeah. But yes, we Kevin all understand Hart. Kevin.
Obviously, like, Eddie Murphy.
Okay, so he's the one that we're getting most off of. He's my favorite comedian, Eddie Murphy.
I feel like it's because of that recent movie. What was
it?
Netflix.
You People?
Yes.
Yes. I haven't seen that, but I do think Eddie is top of mind because of it. Mm. But I actually like old school Eddie, like Raw and Delirious. Like,
okay. Norbit. I actually just started, like, kind of watching older movies and stuff like Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, like Trading Places. Have you seen Trading Places?
I don't think I've seen
that. Oh, my gosh. Please watch that movie. It's so good. It's Eddie... And it's set in the 80s, and basically, like, he trades places. Well, these millionaires set up this scheme where he trades places with this other guy who's a millionaire, and Eddie was homeless. And so him having that whole, like, experience as a man with money at that time was just, it was great. Very funny.
I mean, now that you bring that up, I really feel like Eddie Murphy is up there, top two for sure.
Because
I just rewatched Life the other day with Martin Lawrence.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's
I forgot how funny that movie was.
Carson Palmer.
Right now, my kids have been watching Office nonstop. So Steve Carell.
Your kids are watching Office?
Oh, yeah.
How old are your
That's
kids?
All they watch. They're a little too young for it. There's some stuff that goes over the head, but I love it because I get to watch it, and I'm not watching, like, Teletubbies
right.
or some little kid show.
Right,
you know?
Baby Shark. We're done with Baby yeah. Shark. Christian Watson.
He's a white guy.
Okay.
He has a black wife.
Uh-huh.
Trying to think of what is his name?
I...
Yes, Gary Owen.
Gary Owen,
yeah,
okay.
Gary Owen is he's my favorite comedian.
He
by
is
far.
Really funny. He's I will give you that, yes. At first I was like, I don't know where he's going with that. Gary Owen, okay, yeah.
Yeah, nah,
that's
is,
a good one.
He is hilarious.
Okay, what is it about Gary? He makes him funny.
I feel like he's just like a, he's like the goofy guy who has like a lot of experience with, you know, like culture, obviously, you know, having a interracial family. So he's able to kind of, you know, speak on that.
Mm.
And he just has a lot of funny experiences with that. He's just a funny guy. The way he tells his stories is just like spot on.
Yeah.
And he's so goofy about it that it adds like another like level to his comedy.
TJ Ward.
I love comedy. That's probably my favorite genre.
Really?
Yeah. But Eddie Murphy, all-time greatest.
I just said that.
All-time greatest.
I just said that.
I was watching that movie he just put out with Lauren London.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't that funny of a movie, but every time Eddie got on the screen, I'm just cracking up. Like every scene he did was hilarious to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And then after Eddie, probably like Chris Tucker.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I like Cat Williams.
Yeah. I'm a big Eddie Murphy fan. I was just saying Raw and Delirious are two of the funniest stand-ups I've ever seen. And then watching Eddie got me into going and looking at old Richard Pryor mm-hmm. comedy because Eddie, you know, he did a lot of his comedy and stand-up by, like Richard. Like, he yeah. was inspired by him. And so I went back and watched his, and I was like, wow, he's funny too.
Yeah,
but Eddie hilarious. Is. And once
Eddie's
you once you understand Eddie's, like, kind of comedy, everything he does is funny to you. But yeah. you got to get it. Like, Norbit, to me, is one of the funniest.
Hilarious.
It's so funny.
Hilarious.
It's
that got a
so
slow start,
funny.
Though. When it first dropped, it was like,
yeah.
But now you watch it.
Oh, man.
It's hilarious.
That's a sleeper.
He got, like, subtle little statements
yes.
and, like, looks.
Yes.
That you just, like you said, you got to understand his comedy.
Yeah.
So.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Have you ever spotted McDonald's hot, crispy fries right as they're being scooped into the carton? And time just stands still. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Every player has a song or playlist that prepares them for the game. Now, some of our guests are still on the field, some have retired, but either way, you got to know what song you are listening to get you motivated. Here's what they had to say. Solomon Wilcox.
I don't know necessarily the song by titles, but if you gave me some DMX or if you gave me some Jay-Z,
okay,
you know, but it's more going to be about this is who I am. This is what I'm about. This is my drive. This is my mindset. Just before going into competition, those are the songs that, like, when I'm working out, that's kind of, so I don't necessarily know songs by title,
mm-hmm.
But that's kind of just gives you the idea of the genre of music that I'm listening to when I'm really wanting to lock in my focus.
Yes.
When I'm wanting to be driven and motivated, and when I'm highly competitive.
Ooh, I like that. So a little
yeah.
hip-hop slash rap slash,
yeah.
is the theme of that the underdog?
Some of that, yeah.
Because
you overlooking me, tried to play me. Now here I go.
Yeah.
And here I am.
Yeah, I feel like Jay-Z's got a little bit
he
of
got that.
That.
Oh, there's
He's
no doubt.
He's my favorite.
That's
I'm
right. That's
Jay-Z's
right.
Favorite.
New York State of Mind type stuff.
Christian Watson.
My go-to before a game is, I think, honestly, I don't think I have anyone else on my playlist aside from Kodak. Lil Uzi, and Drake.
Wow.
I think if I had those three artists, I'm sure there's a few mixed in, maybe like a little bit of Gunna, maybe a little bit of Lil Baby. But honestly, okay. I could get perfectly hyped up for a game, more than hyped up enough for a game with just those three artists.
Okay.
I mean, Kodak's a classic for me, and then Uzi's one of my favorites, and obviously, you know, Drake. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So if you were going back to baseball and you had a walk-up song from one of those three artists, what would your song be? Like, you were walking up to bat.
What would it be? Probably Calling My Spirit by Kodak.
Okay. Yeah. You had that ready to go.
I think that would be the one.
All right, I'm gonna have to go listen to that when we get off. I don't know that well, first of all, I never remember songs by title. I hear it. I'm like, oh yeah, I like that song, but I never know the title of it. Yeah, so I'm gonna listen to that. TJ Ward.
I'm not the one song person when I like to chill out before the game. So I don't really get too hyped. I'm listening to R&B? Mellow music. Yep.
Okay.
Probably like R&B.
Lil Joe,
some Sade. Like 90s, 2000s R&B.
See, and we talked about this earlier because we were saying that, like, someone else came on the show and said they like more mellow music because they already hype enough. So they need something to bring them down.
Hyperventilate.
Right. Doing the most.
No, for real.
Yeah, no. And he was saying he likes to listen to gospel music. And I was like, wow. But I have friends that listen to R&B when they're working out. Like, every day, they like, oh, I got to get a little R&B. And I'm like, I can't get hyped to R&B. Like, that ain't going to do a lot.
I mean, it don't get me hype. It just mellows me out.
Yeah, but see, you need
it
something
gets
different.
Me even. Yeah,
but see, I need
even.
Something that's going to get me up. Like, I need to be in there with some Jay-Z, like, telling people that I was an
underdog. I'm more like that when I get in the stadium. Like, once I'm already dressed and I'm in the stadium, like, I like the stadium
music.
DJ to play something turned up. But, like, when I'm getting ready in the locker room and before driving to the game, I'm trying to chill out. My heart already beating 1,000 miles an hour, so.
Yeah, so you need to relax. Down. And you said, who were those artists? Sade.
I said Sade. I like mixes, so I'll put like 90s or 2000s R&B.
Okay,
on.
So anybody from that time, a little Tevin Campbell, maybe a little Mary R. J.
Kelly. Mary J.
You know what? You already know what I'm about to say.
It is what it is. Look, listen. Man made great music.
Look, I always say once it comes on, it's too late, so I might as well listen to the whole song. You know what I'm saying? It's in there.
Yeah, but I like The Weeknd. I'll put some Weeknd on too.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
And like, The Dream. I used to listen to that in college.
Oh, The Dream is good. Dream. Yeah, that's a real good one. Adam Vinatieri, do you want to get hype to some music? And if you do, what song is that? Or are you trying to get mellow before a kick?
Yeah, so I know the guys in the locker room, like we all try to respect each other with having headphones on or something. You know, some of the coaches are kind of like, I don't want it to be over the top. Mm-hmm. And there's other times we got speakers in there and they're blasting whatever that, you know, whatever. So for me, my job is, and I don't want to compare it to a quarterback, but we're more cerebral than hype stuff. We're not a middle linebacker that is trying to kill guys. So the most geeked up music on the planet, you know. So I'm a little bit more chill with that. I don't even necessarily have a song, and my genre goes all over the place. It might be it. I don't, like I said, you know, the guys are listening to hard rap, just heavy stuff. And for me, it's just take a step down from that. Just something that I can just kind of just chill, relax, you know, get into my mind and make sure I'm where I need to be.
And focused.
Right.
I can appreciate that. I would have guessed that for your position, for what your job is, for where you have to be mentally.
And then once the game's over and we won back in the locker room, let's go.
Let's go. Carl Eller. What is just that song that used to get you motivated, get you going back when you were playing? Or even now, you hear it and you just like, let's go, let's get after it.
I don't know, probably the Four Tops, something about the Four Tops.
Okay, you know, that's good. That's a sure bet. The Four Tops, all the hits, right?
Yeah, all the hits,
okay, Four Tops. All right, I get that.
Yeah.
Someone told me that your answer might be the Purple People Eater. That song might have been your favorite. What do you know about that jam?
Well, I know a little bit about that jam. We have a very popular tune for us, Purple People, as we will call that. I think it's where our name came from. It was about the same time that, the Vikings and Purple People Leaders and all that. But the song certainly came out really, too, around that time, too. So I'm not sure which came first.
Yep.
We had the purple uniforms, the purple jerseys anyway.
Yeah.
But, the round-eyed, whatever, big Purple People Leaders, it was a very popular song. for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a very motivational song and brought the fans together, too, during a very important time. Behind the defense that I heard was suffocating. So
yeah,
that's
well,
what I hear.
Well, suffocate the other guys, you mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Carson Palmer.
I'm old school West Coast, so anything Dr. Dre, Eminem, Snoop, anything off the Chronic 2001, every song on that album is fantastic and gets me hyped.
You got to give us a song.
Dre Day, I got to know the names of each song.
Just one. Just give us your go-to.
What's the one? Lose Yourself, Eminem on that. What's the name
from
of the song?
8 Mile soundtrack? Yes.
Is that from 8 Mile?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yes.
That one's on everybody's high school highlight film.
It is.
It gets everybody hyped.
Yeah, the intro is so dope. Zonovan Knight.
I don't feel like it's one specific song.
Okay.
I just feel like, in general, like pregame, wake up in the morning, whatever the case may be, it's always R&B. That's my thing.
Okay, we got another R&B.
Brent Faiyaz, Giveon, Kalani, listen to everybody.
So that's during the day, though. But what about, like, right before you hit the field? Same thing? Like, mellow?
I'll be on the field warming up listening to R&B.
Listening to? Okay. And is it – the reasons we've heard is it keeps you mellow, it brings you down, because you might be someone who is automatically, like, on 10, so you need that music to kind of mellow you. Is that the case?
I feel like for me, it's, like, it's weird, but, like, it gets me ready for the game. I feel like it's getting me prepared.
Get you hyped?
Yeah. I don't know. It has me feeling good. Like, when I play R&B and it's, like, good songs like that, R&B-wise, and then – I just feel like I'm ready to go. I feel like I feel 100%. Like, I just be flying around, gets me in a good mood, gets me in the right state of mind for the game.
Gets you in a good mood. Has you feeling full.
Yes.
Aiden Hutchinson, what is your walk-up song?
I
know, different sport, but
my,
that's okay.
My walk-up song?
Yeah.
Is Hypnotize by Biggie. So I
that is
song.
A winner.
That's what, yeah.
That is, you cannot go wrong with that song.
Someone was asking that before, and I really thought about it very deeply, and I looked at all the music that I've listened to. And that one is just too hype, you know? It's just...
You gotta get up for that song.
That's it, you know? That's
so good.
It. So that's my walk-up song.
And can you... And I don't know how much you remember music videos, but, like, Biggie and Diddy, like, in the car driving.
Yeah,
you remember that video at all?
No,
oh, man, you go watch the video.
I feel you, though. I can imagine.
Add layers. I mean, you know, Biggie's
it.
Got the shirt open. It's like
yeah.
blowing in the wind.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good one. That's yeah. a... I don't think I've ever heard of someone having a Biggie hype song.
That's one that, like, everybody can relate to, I feel. Like everybody, it's like, I like picking songs that are like, anybody hears it, you're like, damn.
That's a jam. Right, yeah. You know, so at the wedding, at the reception.
No matter who you like, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of music you listen to, that song will always be forever hype,
yeah.
you know?
Andrew Hawkins.
My favorite artist right now is probably Toby Nwigwe.
Okay.
Nipsey Hussle, that gets me going. But I would say Nipsey and Toby Nwigwe are my two favorite artists that I would listen to right now. When I played, I would listen to gospel music because I needed to get my mind centered. It was so much
soothing.
Yeah, I needed a calming sense because I was whacked out of my mind.
And that's in. I was whacked out of my mind.
Yeah,
you were pumped up enough on your own. You
yeah, yeah.
To be brought
I
down
needed to be know. Brought down. I was good.
Foye Olukun, what's the one song that will always get you hyped?
So it's not Nelly, because if you say, like...
You could be. Yeah, it could be Nelly. I mean, a little hot.
Always
hot
get me
little...
hype. First, there's a couple songs that always get me hype. Really, like, if you want to get me in the right mood, if you play, like, Lil Will, My Dougie, that was my era back in the day.
Teaching you how to Dougie?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's
different
a good
thing.
One.
Okay.
A good song, but it's Lil Will. So the guy who made Bust It Wide Open.
Yes,
but
okay.
He made my it's kind of the same beat, but my Dougie.
Did he steal the Dougie?
No, he made it first. And
then they remixed
they
it.
Re,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Teach Me How Dougie Straight too. And then obviously Nelly. If you put, we're going through all the Nelly songs I know because there's just so many.
It's not hot in here. I know that's
I mean,
more
that's
of a party
not, that's
song.
Not that hot.
I know.
Bad Boys 2, the soundtrack, Sacred Tail Feather.
Oh wait a minute now.
Yeah. No. That's a good song, too.
That is, too.
But,
like, I feel like all his songs start like that.
Yeah. It got the, you know how Florida State do that axe chop? That,
And it was singing Take Your Tail Feather.
Yeah, that'll get me going.
Yes,
right,
that's a good song. Willie Colon.
I had a playlist called Bank Robber Music. And in this Bank Robber Music was the most volatile, hostile, unchristian-like stuff probably ever played, right? And my number one song of all time that would start off my playlist was No Vaseline by Ice Cube.
Oh, I know what this playlist looked like.
And so that okay. every time, and you understand for football players, when how we let out into the locker room facility, it usually goes like special team, receivers out, and it's like with the running backs, and it's like quarterback, tight ends, defensive and the offensive lines, because when I played offensive line, we were always last out. And so I always had time to get in that zone. And for me to kind of get there, I would put that on, and I would just scroll, boom, Bank Robber music, number one, Ice Cube, No Vaseline. And soon as it, you know, here's what they thought. I was just like, and it just let. And then when I beat drops, I was just. And then number two was Who Shot You by Biggie Smalls.
Okay.
And then number three was Tyler the Creator. I forgot the song. The theme was called Goblin. And I think number four was Bodies Hit the Floor. It was this rock song.
Oh man, you.
Number five was what was number five? I do know it. Deep Cover with Big Pun and Fat Joe.
Yeah.
So like that was like so when I got when the helmet was on. The other guy was already out.
And I love that you remember every song because that was your routine. Mm-hmm. That was it.
And then I ended it with gospel.
What an ending. And then a little Kirk Franklin at the back end. Let's
sorry,
bring
God,
back
for this body I'm about to take out of this human being I'm about to play.
Right. No, that's good. And good memory, too.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for yourself, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
An athlete's pregame ritual is sacred. We broke down what superstitions affected how these legends and today's superstars get ready for their biggest games. Christian Watson.
I don't like to say that I have like superstitions, so I'm not really like locked in on them. Like if I mess it up, I don't think it's gonna mess anything up for me.
Yeah.
But I do usually stick to a routine. So like the stuff that I do on game day, the stuff I do in pregame is the same every time. But like, let's say I get to the facility a little later or like I spend a little bit more time getting ready. Obviously, I don't think that impacts me at all. I just kind of like skip something I normally do or just speed up a little bit.
Okay.
I definitely have a routine on game day. I catch the same routes. I run the same routes, catch the same amount of balls in pregame. But, I don't really think of it as a superstition. I more so think of it as a routine.
TJ Ward.
I'm not a superstitious person.
At
honestly.
All. Okay.
So I don't really do the superstition.
Okay.
I hate when people come at me with their superstitions.
Like, don't touch me.
I got a friend of mine. He came to me. This was like back in high school. He still does it to this day. He's like, don't put your hat on the bed. It's bad luck. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's old school. Yeah, like don't split the pole.
But every blue moon, I'll remember that, and I'll just be like, bro, why did you tell me that? So.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
People like to push their superstitions on you. Don't push them on me.
Adam Vinatieri.
So I've watched a lot of people have crazy, crazy superstitions. They got to wear a certain pair of socks. I watched a coach like put a piece of gum in the same way every single day and walk around the emblem on the floor because it was like, ooh. Like I purposely, whenever I felt like I was getting into a superstition or was depending on I've got to do this, I'd purposely break it because I never wanted to feel like, oh, my God, if I don't have my lucky shoes or if they rip out or, oh, my God, they didn't pack my lucky shirt or whatever it is. I would purposely make sure that I didn't have those because I didn't want to feel like I felt like that was handicapping me if I had that.
Crutch. Yeah.
So for me now other people would say, but Adam, you like now do I have a routine? Absolutely. I was always – either the first or second guy there, getting some soft tissue work with our physical therapist. I had a certain time when I'd go out onto the field. I had a certain time when I would do certain things. And I don't think that was superstition. It was just like I knew my schedule. I knew what I needed. And as I progressed in age, I might need a little bit more time to loosen up, to do whatever. So I was just very regimentedly, you know, I had a schedule that mm-hmm. I don't think that was superstition, though. I think that was just smart for me.
Yes. And we've run into some conversations today with guys who say something very similar. It's like, it's not superstition, it's routine.
Yeah.
It's just, I like to do the things the same way every time, which 100%. Is actually kind of the secret to success in sport, right? Like, if you're going to kick it, you want the same form.
Absolutely.
If you're shooting a basketball, you want that to look the same.
Replicate
every time.
It every single time.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that makes perfect sense. I thought what was interesting is Foye, one of the gentlemen we had on earlier, said that he doesn't even like to go out on the field before the game at all.
Really?
Like, does not touch the grass until it's time to go. I was like, I think I want to get out there. He's like, he would go out, and the only thing he looks at when he does go out, and this was for the game, is he looks at the goalpost, because he did every field I've played in since I was in high school, the goalpost is the same. And so just kind of mind-tricking yourself into believing you're at the same place you always are, right?
Yeah.
And so you kind of have to zone out the surroundings, he said weather, like any distractions. That's why he doesn't go on the field, because he doesn't even want to be thinking about those things. He wants to go out in time to just perform.
I'm the exact opposite.
Me too.
I feel like I had to go out there. Coach Belichick always said, make sure you have the cleats that you need. Make sure you know the conditions and the surroundings. Mm-hmm. And for a kicker, it's super important. You need to know what the field surface is, so you know what shoes to wear, so you're not sliding around.
Yep.
I always would go out early to make sure, even before I put my clothes, like I would drop my bags off and maybe throw on some sweats real quick, and then I'd head out and I would check what the wind was doing, both
wind,
end zones,
yes.
And in the middle of the field, see what the winds are doing and where the sun's going to be. Just stuff like that, because I felt like the more knowledge I had, I was prepared for it.
Yes.
Played in damn near every stadium at some point. So, like, when guys would come to our stadium when I played for New England, it was a tricky stadium to play in. Winds were crazy. Field conditions were bad. And they'd always come in and they'd be like, dude, I don't know how you do this. This place sucks. And I just right then and there, I was like, he's already beaten. Like,
yes.
like for him to even admit
that
is,
yep.
is like, dude, you know? And
yep.
and it wasn't the easiest place to play. I mean, they would, when it was grass before they finally turfed it, I mean, they would fill the holes in with sand and then they would paint it green to make it look good for TV.
Ooh.
And I'm like, this is BS.
Yeah,
this is,
that's
but,
not good.
And Belichick always said, well, you can handle it. And I'm like, yeah, I can maybe handle it, maybe sort of, but this is BS.
But it's fraud.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
fraud
this is
material
fraud.
Right
exactly,
here. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was always a big advocate of getting out early, figuring conditions out, knowing what shoes you need to wear, one time we played in Kansas City late in the year, they got heater coils, but they weren't working. So where the shadows were on the field, like 20 yards out of the end zone, in the end zone, frozen solid, and then the other part was not. So guys are trying to figure out, do you wear little nubby cleats to get traction? Because if you got long cleats, you're sliding all over there. So
yes.
you're just trying to figure it out.
Ooh,
you know,
that's
so,
tough conditions.
Yeah.
That's almost unfair.
A little bit. You
Seems
deal with
like
it.
That happens a lot.
Nobody cares.
Though.
Nobody
yeah,
cares
yeah,
about
no
us.
Excuses,
yeah,
right.
No
yeah,
excuses.
Work harder. No
right.
excuses, work harder.
That's right.
Carson Palmer, game day superstitions. How do your superstitions maybe none?
Nada.
Zero?
I was so unsuperstitious that I thought if I started to get a little bit superstitious that it would just ruin me in the head. So I tied my shoes different. Nothing was the same. I actually was so unsuperstitious that it was a little bit superstitious of myself, because I would come in and make sure I didn't do anything the same way I did the week before or the month before or after that.
A superstition on superstition.
On top of superstition.
That
double superstition.
This is a new one on me. We've never gotten this on. We've
Good.
Got like no superstitions, but not intentional no superstition.
Yeah, I was so unsuperstitious that I actually made myself superstitious.
Zonovan Knight.
It's not like a set one, but it's like, say like this week I play, I'm wearing certain stuff and I go for like 100 yards or something like that.
You wearing that
I'll
next
wear
week.
Those same tights, same cleats, everything the next week. Have the same setup.
As you should.
Yeah. So
okay.
that's kind of, it's not like a preset thing, like, oh, going into the season, I'm wearing this every week.
Uh-huh.
Kind of goes, like, if I have a good game, I'm going to wear those cleats again, wear the same tights, everything.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Has that ever worked for you when you've gone on a run with one, like, outfit where you, like, I've been 3 games in a row, I'm killing
I think
it.
Now I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to realize, like, That's not really what it is. Because like I ended up having a 3-game run this year.
Okay.
I ended up setting like franchise records and things. So
congratulations.
I wore the same cleats and stuff for like 3 weeks, and then like that fourth week hit, and I didn't do the same thing. I had,
you
had
like
a decent
the magic.
Game. It was a mid game, so I wasn't into it. So that's when I could just kind of did my own thing for the rest of the year. So.
You're good. Okay. But that 3-game run was fire, though.
It makes you feel like you're doing the right thing. Then when it finally reality hits, you, it's like, that ain't how it works in the NFL.
Right, yeah. No, the NFL is tough, man. Mm-hmm. Woo! Yeah. I can imagine what that grind is like.
I don't think people know and appreciate that. It's like you have a bad game and you get, like, crazy DMs and stuff
messages,
from fans
stuff,
and stuff. It's like everybody thinks it's easy from the outside looking in, but, like, being out there with, like, grown men who do this for a living.
My goodness.
Like, you genuinely have people out there, like, playing like they need to feed their family and like they're trying to be set for life.
And the margin for error is so small.
Exactly,
you know, one misstep, one this, one that. I mean, the smallest mistake is the difference between a successful play and a not successful play.
And with this being our job, is like you do something that's – you make a mistake that could cost a game or something. Like you're looking at losing your job the next day or potentially that bringing somebody else. And like they're quick to do it. Like if you – it's like you were saying, there's no room for error.
Carl Eller, superstitions. Did you have any superstitions when you played?
I did. I had superstition. I don't exactly remember what they were, except you repeated the same things you did and repeating of whatever your scenario was.
What you eat,
what you wear, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a, superstition, yes.
Foye Olukun.
I probably have a lot because I'm kind of always want to be doing the same thing. But what I know is that as soon as I don't go out for warm-ups.
Okay.
I don't like to take extra steps because I take a lot of steps in the game. I save all my
your energy.
I tell my trainers I got to save my ATP. That's some science term I learned back in biology. Okay. But I save all my energy for the game. Obviously, I'll do a little lift inside. I'll do all the stretch, the warm-ups. I'll take a lot of things to get my blood going, like a little exercise and stuff, ride the bike and all that. But I'm not going to go outside and touch the grass until it's game time. Like, check your cleats. I'm like, my cleats are my cleats. I don't care.
So, wait, because this is interesting. Because something that I felt like I always wanted to do as a former athlete was, like, I want to get on the floor where I'm going to perform. Like, I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
At least to, like, so you don't go out there
visually.
Okay.
So let's say I want it just conceptually, I want it to be the same field, same arena every time. So no matter where we're playing, I'm not going to go out, see the atmosphere, As soon as I step out, I want it to be game time, and I do this thing where I look at the goalpost, and I just take deep breaths because every football field has, obviously, the end lines. They all got the goalpost. No matter if you're in high school, college, they all got that goalpost. And I go back to my high school days, coming out for the kickoff. I can envision, like, the back wall of John Burrow School where that goalpost was. I envision college practice field. I envision the college game field. Then I envision I was in Atlanta for 4 years, the Atlanta goalpost.
Yep.
And then I envision maybe earlier in the season, like, that goalpost. Because I'm resetting myself to where I've always been on that football field.
That's awesome.
Looking at the goalpost. Because I don't want to
get distracted, right?
Yeah, all the hoopla, what's going on in the game.
You don't care about weather either, because if I run out there and it's 20 degrees, I would need to.
I don't want to feel cold before the cold either.
That's true.
I only got 60 minutes of cold in me.
Okay, I got that. Yeah, because I was watching the game this year where it was like Miami maybe at Buffalo, and it was just, wall-to-wall snow just coming. I was like, this is wild.
Yeah, I'll feel that during our first warm-up attempt. Like, we go out there for, like, warm-ups, and we come back inside, then come out for the game. I'll feel that cold then.
Okay.
But I won't even wear my gloves during that. I can't have my gloves on until the game either. I put them on my face, man. So I guess I got some superstitions.
Yeah, you do. You got a whole routine.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Thanks for tuning in to this special Radio Row edition of Huge Fan, where sports talk stars. Also, a big thanks to our guests who shared their fandom. You can find Huge Fan on Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you like the show, please rate, review, and share so other Huge Fans can find us. And don't forget to follow the show or subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. That'll do it for this round of Huge Fan, the podcast where stars talk sports. I'm LaChyna Robinson. Until next time, keep rooting your guts out. Go Budos Band!
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Have you ever spotted McDonald's hot, crispy fries right as they're being scooped into the carton? And time just stands still. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.